It was appropriate. What was mishandled was the explanation of the case. The cases to the Congress.
Yeah, it's just a big joke, isn't it, Chuckle Nuts? Good evening, Truth Seekers. 7 past the hour, Malloy here on Nova M Radio Network. It just gets weirder and weirder. What did I say last night? What's going to happen tomorrow, right? Oh, man, this is more fun than a massive rat killing at the local dump. I swear to God it is. I was doing something today, and all of a sudden, I had CNN on, all of a sudden, something about a missing submarine. I thought, oh, Christ. What was the Russian submarine, the Kirk, huh? Open your mic and say it. Cursed, Kirkuk, cursed. I remember when we moved back here from Chicago, and I went to in 2000, and I went to work for CNN International. That story dominated the news: the Russian missing Russian submarine and how those submariners suffocated. And so I hear this today: an American submarine. And I thought, what the? So I flip over to MSNBC, and. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, until finally the story just evaporates. So Ron in Briarwood, New York, sent me this email right before the show that kind of sums it up. The subject line, where is our submarine? Is our submarine missing? Our submarine is missing. Oh, my God, we lost the submarine. A submarine is lost. We have a submarine tragedy. What's that? Is that a submarine? Is that our submarine? Did we find our submarine? We found our submarine. There's no submarine tragedy. Never mind. Jesus, God. Hey, Bush. Bush. Hey, Chuckle Nuts. Ladybug, Ladybug, better fly home. Your party's in ruins and your cabinet's all gone. Boy, Nacho El Presidente has missed a hell of a lot while slurping mezcal and munching on chimichangas on his anti-Chavez tour of South America, right? While roughly one half of those nations' military was mobilized to keep him from getting shot. Such a statesman, this guy. Such a wonderful representative of America. But that's another topic. We have some clips of his press conference today with El Presidente Calderón of Mexico. And I think Jorge was actually genuinely stymied by all the fuss over Gonzalez. Like, what? Huh? What? I don't think he's smart enough to understand the depth of the scandal and what's going to happen. You listen, but it sounds like from his nervous answers that he actually believes the swill that Cheney and Rove have spoon-fed him about he's above the law. He's the president. He honestly believes that he is the decider. He can wage war. He can fire anybody he wants, anytime he wants, for any reason he wants. No repercussions. If there's repercussions, you're supposed to sit down, shut up. What's going on? He honestly thinks he's a king or a dictator or something. And just like that King George of old, he's totally nuts. His wheel is spinning, but his hamster is dead. I don't make predictions, except right now. Gonzalez will follow Rummy and Wiley Kiley and all the others out the door by this weekend. And poor George Bush will be hugging his teddy bear or his feather pillow, looking around lost. No Rummy. No Tejano anymore. What's happening? What's happening? Uncle Dick! What's happening? that was the designer. We'll get to that in a moment. A California woman whose doctor says marijuana is the only medicine keeping her alive is not immune from federal prosecution on drug charges, according to a federal appeals court today. The case was brought by Angel Reich, or Rach, an Oakland, California mother of two, who suffers from scoliosis, a brain tumor, chronic nausea, and other ailments. On her doctor's advice, because it's legal to do so in California, she eats or smokes marijuana every couple of hours to ease her pain and to stimulate a non-existent appetite. Conventional drugs did not work. The Supreme Court ruled against Angel Rach 2 years ago, saying that medical marijuana users and their suppliers could be prosecuted for breaching federal drug laws, even if they lived in a state such as California where medical pot is legal. Now, because of that ruling, because of the Supreme Court ruling, the issue before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in California was narrowed not to whether or not she had a right to accept her doctor's prescription, but it was narrowed to the so-called right to life theory, that marijuana should be allowed if it is the only viable option to keep a patient alive. Miss Rach, who is 41, began sobbing when she was told of the decision and said she will continue using the drug. She said, quote, I'm sure not going to let them kill me. Oh my God. End quote. Right to life. Where have I heard that before? Right to life. Oh, Miss Rach, if you were a fetus, every religious freak in the United States would swarm around California to keep you alive. If you were a vegetative state, brain-dead woman like Terry Schiavo, Congress would convene. Bush would run to Washington. But you're not, Miss Rach. You're an Oakland, California mother of two who smokes pot to ease the pain. The right to life theory. Marijuana should be allowed if it is the only viable option to keep the patient alive. Don't scream, Mike. Don't scream. We're only 14 minutes into the program. Just calm down. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the suspected mastermind of the September 11 attacks, confessed to that attack and a string of others during a military hearing at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, according to a transcript released today by the Pentagon. Mohammed claimed responsibility for planning, financing, and training all the people involved for bombings ranging from the 1993 attack at the World Trade Center to the attempt by the would-be shoe bomber Richard Reed to blow up a transatlantic flight with explosives hidden in his shoes, to the attack on the United States on September 11th, he confessed everything. Mohammed said he was responsible for planning 29 individual attacks, including many that were never executed. The comments were included in a 26-page transcript released by the Pentagon, which also blacked out most of his remarks. The Pentagon also released transcripts of the hearings of Abu Faraj Alibi and Ramzi Binalshib. Binalshib is suspected of helping Khalid Sheikh Mohammed with the September 11, 2001 attack plan, and is also linked to the foil plot to crash aircraft in London's Heathrow Airport. Now, right before the program, I got this real snotty email from somebody who said, well, there goes your World Trade Tower demolition theory. Or do you think Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was working for Halliburton? You know, some witty, half-witted ass. And I wrote him back and I just said, look, I'll tell you what. Let me have you for 3 years to torture you no matter... I can do anything I want to you. I will have you, smartass, confessing to the tower bombings. So there we go. It's all over. He did it. Sheikh Khalid Muhammad did it. We've got the confession. By golly, it's over.
I was sitting outside the classroom waiting to go in, and I saw an airplane hit the tower the TV was obviously on, and I used to fly myself, and I said, well, there's one terrible pilot. I was sitting in the classroom, and Andy Card, my chief of staff, who was sitting over here, walked in and said, a second plane has hit the tower. America's under attack.
Yeah, and I was sitting in front of my TV, and I saw that happen, and I thought to myself, Jesus, I've voted before. This president is a real jackass. He don't know what he's doing.
And somehow, he's the only human being on planet Earth that managed to see the first plane hit the tower.
But we now have the confession. After only 3.5 years in solitary detention, held by the CIA in its secret prison network, and then being transferred to the prison at Guantanamo Bay, where another 380 people are being held on suspicion of links to Al-Qaeda or the Taliban, Sheikh Mohammed has confessed to everything. The military is not allowing reporters to attend these sessions. The hearings, which began last Friday, are being conducted in secret by the military. Yes, indeedy. But he's confessed to everything. And Jesus, well, you know what is so wonderful about this? After only 3.5 years of extreme torture, now the problem here, I don't know if Sheikh Khalid Muhammad is guilty or not. Neither do you. Neither do the interrogators for the CIA. A tortured confession means nothing. Anybody knows this. Everybody knows this. But that's not the way torture boy, soon to be ex-attorney general Gonzalez, sets it up. Oh, no, you have permission to go ahead. It's okay. As long as we torture them, not on U.S. soil, everything's okay.
Oh, where do I sign that?
Right here, Mr. President.
Oh, thanks.
So, Mohammed has claimed responsibility for everything. Everything. This has been one little busy Muslim terrorist, Jesus, going all the way back to 1993. And before. He's been involved in every single terrorist attack everywhere on the planet, no matter Africa, Bali, the World Trade Center. He's also confessed to being involved in an attempt to assassinate Pervez Musharraf, the dictator of Pakistan. This guy's been everywhere. He's done everything. Now, the problem is that just like my half-witted emailer, L. Green, who sent me the link to the story and says, there goes your demolition theory. I suppose that Sheikh Mohammed was on contract with Halliburton. No, he wasn't. He was being tortured. The problem is that there are all sorts of L. Greens out there in fantasy land who are going to say, okay, well, that's done. Yes, yeah, sir, that's the way it works. You torture some poor son of a bitch until he confesses to everything. Everything. And then you take him before a military tribunal, and you don't know. We don't know if he confessed. This is what the scribes are releasing from the military tribunal. There's nobody there to verify or challenge anything that's being said here. Nothing. This guy has no attorney. I'm not talking about attorneys or legal representation or Human Rights Watch. Nothing. What do you want to bet he doesn't have any testicles left? What do you want to bet he doesn't have a tongue left? What do you want to bet his hands have been chopped off and his ears removed and maybe an eye gouged out and his anus sewn shut? What do you want to bet? He's confessed to everything. Did he really do it? Who knows? If he really did, then okay, we've got a winner. Johnny, And if he didn't, it doesn't matter. So there you go. And all the L Greens out there who want to send me emails about, well, they caught him. Oh, my God. Okay. Well, that's good. I'm glad that's solved. Aren't you, Kathy? It's all solved now. We know exactly who the mastermind was. But I thought it was Osama bin Laden. Haven't we been told it was Osama? I thought it was Osama bin Laden. Oh, no. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. He confessed everything. Bin Laden apparently had nothing to do with anything. Or something like that. This was a couple days ago. Senator Hillary Clinton spoke to a group of more than 500 Human Rights Campaign volunteers Friday, that's a gay group, promising that she will institute a partnership with gays and lesbians if she's elected president, and that gays will always, quote, have an open door to the White House, end quote. In a speech, Clinton joked that she shares the same initials as the human rights group, HRC, and pledged to maintain the same close working relationship that last year helped defeat the federal amendment which would have banned same-sex marriage. She said, I want you to know this is exactly the kind of partnership we will have when I am president. Senator Clinton said the nation would be safer if openly gay soldiers, sailors, Marines, and airmen could wear the uniform. Yada, 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 yada. That was then. Here's today. Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton stopped short of criticizing General Peter Pace for claiming the homosexuality was immoral. Clinton was asked during a segment to be aired on today's Good Morning America if she thought... homosexual acts between individuals are immoral. She answered,
well, I'm going to leave that to others to conclude.
But you wouldn't sign Nimmy if you didn't want to die. Everything you know is wrong.
Misinformation.
There's a verse missing out of this song.
Misinformation.
Everything you know is wrong.
No, I've always, you know, a dictatorship would be a heck of a lot easier. There's no question about it.
You hear this music?
She's misdirected. She's got pretty pictures of what the world's supposed to be.
Listen to this for a minute.
She's disconnected. She sings those pretty love songs. But she
we have an announcement here, and listen up if you live in the New York area. That's our webmaster, Mark Marshall. He is also a rock star, if you didn't know that. His latest CD, New I, is being released tomorrow night. And the release party will be at 9 p.m. tomorrow night in Nyack, New York, at Olive's, which is at 116 Main Street. This is a shameless promotion for my webmaster. He has worked his ass off for, how long has he been with us? 5 years? What have we paid him? Are you giving me the okay sign or zero? Yeah, so this is a shameless promotion for Mark Marshall. You can get more information about this. Go to his website, markmarshall.com. And we're going to be dropping in some of his music tonight on the breaks. So if you live in the Nyack, New York area, or even if you don't, I expect people from Phoenix to book a flight very quickly because it's tomorrow night. Nyack, New York, 116 Main Street at Olive's. Olive's. That's 9 p.m. tomorrow night. And it's Mark Marshall, his new CD, New I. This is his best. This is his best. Before the break, I was talking about Hillary. It's just getting to the point where, and this is where my good friend and my hero, and he's a great American, Bart Kopp. Bart Kopp and I have have a disagreement here about Hillary. Bart Kopp is a strong supporter of Hillary. I love Bart Kopp. I don't care who he supports. I don't care under what conditions he supports. Bart Kopp has been out there swinging the big hammer longer than, I don't know, on the internet. He's just been pounding away at these thugs and murderers and killers. He's the one that came up with the term pink tutu Democrats. But Bart Kopp and I had this one disagreement on Hillary Clinton. And, you know, I just don't discuss it with Bart Kopp because I love him like a brother, and I'm just not going to get involved with Bart Kopp about Hillary. Either Bart Kopp will have a revelation and change his mind, or I will, or neither. But Hillary Clinton, to me, continues to display the kind of cheesy, third-rate political right-wing blue dog Democrat crap that I am sick to my stomach of. And this bit with the Human Rights Campaign. You know, she told the group, and Human Rights Campaign is a group that works for human rights for gays and lesbians, transgendered persons, and on and on. And, you know, she jokes about the fact that her initials, HRC, are the same as the Human Rights Campaign, HRC. Oh, isn't that cute? And she told the group, she was talking to them, that she would work closely to help defeat, or she did work closely to help defeat the federal amendment, which would have banned same-sex marriage, which is like saying, well, you know, I worked very, very diligently to make sure that the lights were turned off in the Senate office building when I left at night. There's no chance that that was ever going to get out of the Senate or the House. But okay, so Clinton claims credit for that, just like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed now claims credit for doing everything bad to this country in the past 15 years. But she went on to tell the group, I want you to know this is exactly the kind of partnership we will have when I am president. I want you to know that just as you can always have an open door to my Senate office, you will always have an open door to the White House, and together we can continue this journey. Oh, Jesus. It sounds so Rod McCune, does it? We can continue the... No, who's the guy that wrote The Bridges of Madison County, the worst book ever in the English language? What was his name? It sounds like something out of that book. But Senator Clinton also said she opposes the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy regarding gays in the military that was instituted during her husband's presidency. And Clinton went on to say that the United States would be safer if openly gay soldiers, sailors, Marines, and airmen could wear the uniform. It would be easier to crack down on these recalcitrant countries that won't give us their oil, too, wouldn't it, Senator? And she said, this policy doesn't just hurt gays and lesbians, it hurts all our troops. And this, to me, is a matter of national security, and we're going to fix it. Okay, that was then. This is now. She said she is very proud of gays and lesbians serving the military, but she stopped short of criticizing General Peter Pace for claiming that homosexuality was immoral. You know, what a perfect, I mean, Peter Pace throws Hillary Clinton a floating softball, and she's standing there with a huge bat and a chance to knock this sucker completely out of the park. Does she? Well, remember, on Monday, the Joint Chiefs chairman told the Tribune that homosexual acts between individuals are immoral. And yesterday he released a statement saying the comment reflected his personal moral views, but he didn't retract it. No less a right-wing murderous hawk than John Warner, Senator Warner, one of Elizabeth Taylor's ex-husbands, and there might be a link there, he came out and stated categorically, I do not agree that homosexuals are immoral. Oh, my God. What did Clinton do? Well, Clinton was asked about that yesterday, about General Peter Pace's comment during a segment that appeared on today's Good Morning America. And she replied,
well, I'm going to leave that to others to conclude
whether or not sexual relations between consenting adults was or are immoral.
Well, I'm going to leave that to others to conclude.
How about... interracial marriage, is that immoral? A lot of people still believe it, Senator Clinton.
Well, I'm going to leave that to others to conclude.
What about shoplifting? A lot of people, I'm going to leave that to others to conclude. A Clinton spokesman later said that obviously she doesn't agree with Peter Pace's comment and was only trying to say it was the general's right to make up his own mind on the issue. Is that what that means? Well, I'm going to leave that to others to conclude. That really translates to, I don't agree with Pace's comment, and I'm just trying to say that it's the general's right to make up his own mind on the issue. But it's going to sound like, well, I'm going to leave that to others to conclude. Hypocritical. I can't stand this. I can't stand it. She has gone after gay and lesbian groups for their support, their money, their votes. Those groups have vehemently denounced Pace. And for Senator Clinton, anything short of a complete rejection of that statement should guarantee the hostility of every single gay and lesbian in this country. Oh, well, what am I saying? Christ, there are gay and lesbian Republicans. Go figure that. That's like, you know, the log cabin Republicans are like chickens voting for Colonel Sanders or something. I don't know. I can't stand hypocrisy. I can't stand this political chameleon-like changing colors every second. Warner didn't. Of course, he's irrelevant. He's an old man. How old is Warner? Kathy, 106? You know, he's like Strom Thurmond. Where's the bathroom? I don't know. What? He said queers are immoral? No, they're not immoral. They're all Catholic. No, wait, that's a different subject. What? No, I don't know. Where am I? Is this the Senate? Idiot, where's Elizabeth? But Hillary Rodham Clinton wants to be president of the United States. Weasel words. Slimy weasel words. She's like Biden. She's like Hegel. She's like Giuliani. But I love Bart Kopp. He is my man. He's my hero. In a different time, a different place, if Bart Kopp said, "Hey, Malloy," that's the way he talks. "Hey, Malloy, I want you to vote for Senator Clinton." Right, Kathy? Isn't that the way you talk? I need you to vote for Senator Clinton. Bart, I can't do it. Come on, pal. Yeah, you can. You can do it. Do I have to? Yeah, come on to Vegas. We'll play some poker. Jingle at Chinaco. Come on, man. Vote for it. It's all right. You got it wrong. I'd probably say, okay. But it's not a different time or a different place. God, I do better Bart Kopp than I do anybody. The other night I said, I can't accept politicians being afraid for their lives, because somebody said, you know, maybe these Democrats are not speaking out forcefully because they're afraid of being shot or anthraxed or what have you. And, I said, you gotta be courage, takes courage. Well, I got an email here from Greg in San Antonio. He writes, what do you mean you can't accept politicians being afraid for their lives? They blew Kennedy's brains out of his skull in full view of the public, in front of his wife. We got a break? Oh, okay. All right, well, I'll come back to this coming back, because I want you to hear what Greg wrote. This is nice music. Go ahead, turn it up. Is this Mark Marshall, too? No?
Should I run for president? Mother, should I trust the government?
This makes me want to cry.
Do you think they'll...
This is Laura Pigglesbush. When Georgie falls asleep, I creep into the Oval Office, sneak a ciggy, and turn on Mike Malloy. Then I reprogram Georgie's speed dial. The simple pleasures.
It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real.
What do you mean you can't accept politicians being afraid for their lives? Greg writes in San Antonio. They blew Kennedy's brains out of his skull in full view of the public in front of his wife, and it was the Bushites who participated in this bit of political theater. E. Howard Hunt, on his deathbed recently, alluded to this fact of deep politics. JFK didn't want Israel to have the bomb. LBJ and Hoover didn't want JFK to win the next election for fear of what he and Bobby would do to them politically. JFK wanted to use a hard commodity currency to the chagrin of the Federal Reserve. El Bango! And Nixon had his hands dirtied by this list of the glissado, not to mention Arlen Specter, Jerry Ford, and the rest of the Warren Commission. Weaponizing anthrax to the Senate office building addressed to Daschle. A chilling effect over the whole of both houses, to say the least. But I agree with you, in spirit and in action. If someone is a leader in government, they give up the right to be overly concerned about their lives or the lives of their families by virtue of their position. Just like the president, as George Will said, the president gives up the right to allow his personal emotions to influence his or her decisions. We had a good ride that allowed politicians and leaders to trust that the death threats would be investigated and curtailed post-haste, but no mas. Therefore, affordable, high-quality, 50-caliber weaponry. Short of a suitcase nuke, we have no other way to be taken seriously by these thugs. One high-value target, not unlike what they did to Daschle. That would send a chill down everyone's spine that we are not wimpy liberals, we are not clowns, we are serious about liberty and freedom, and we are getting tired of talking about it. Really. Greg, San Antonio.
Whoa.
You go, Greg. Regarding Rod McCune, I got one email here about Rod McCune. I was curious if anybody would pick up on that. Mike, so far as I know, only you and my dad. Okay, me too. Know that name. That is the saddiest, sappiest crap music I ever heard. And I knew this at the tender age of 6. And I'm pretty sure my dad came to the same realization. Wow, what a name I never thought I'd hear again. The Mark Marshall music sounds good, though. And always the Floyd and Moody Blues. Bob. Yeah, you can go to markmarshall.com and you can buy the CD there. You can buy it. So this is from Stark in Sacramento regarding the Sheikh Khalid Muhammad, or Khalid Sheikh Mohammed confession today that was revealed by our crack CIA interrogators at Guantanamo. Mike, I'm so relieved at the news of the confession today. Thank goodness. One, we'll now be able to call off the round-the-clock, horribly expensive, years-long search for Osama bin Laden. And two, the shrub is vindicated once again. His conclusion not to think too much about where Osama is has been exactly right. Three, and now we know the bad guy has been out of play for over 3 years. That's why nothing else has happened. And we have nothing left much to worry about. It's not often one gets to witness such historic success of presidential policies in their lifetime. Stark. And let me see. This is from Leah in Florida regarding Khalid Sheikh. Wow! Tomorrow's newspaper's headline should all proclaim Khalid guilty, Osama vindicated. Then below they could explain to the dimwits that would believe such drivel that because Khalid is guilty, that Osama is therefore innocent, and the blind sheikh from 1993 is getting out of jail because Khalid was the guilty party. Help! What a bunch of complete evil idiots! As you were, soldier. And our senior correspondent in Minnesota writes, everything Khalid Sheikh Mohammed confessed to, here it is, here's a list. The crucifixion of Jesus and the theft of the Holy Grail, figuring out how many licks it takes to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Tootsie Pop before everyone else does, opening Pandora's box, giving fire to humans, being the real killer in the O.J. Simpson case, the sinking of the lost continent of Atlantis, taking one for the team, going to bed angry, doing the math in his head and not showing his work on the page, skipping to my loo, voting twice by going to two different precincts, lying about his age on his driver's license, being lonesome tonight, being too sexy for his shirt, cheating at Yahtzee, stepping on a crack which did indeed break his mother's back, wishing upon a star but getting nothing out of the deal, growing opium,
laughing all the way to the bank, passing go without collecting $200, and the list goes on. I mean, this guy saw animal shapes in clouds, he kissed the Barney Stone, he cheated on his taxes, he bites his nails. Well, what's left of them, now that the CIA has pulled them all out? Someone stop me before I keep rattling on! Chris in Minnesota. Oh, my God. From Lori in Chamblee, Georgia, regarding Peter Pace, his statement. Lori writes, I'm finding it amusing that Peter Pace's statement was that acts of homosexuality between individuals are immoral, blah, blah, blah. I guess groups are okay. Wonder how large the group can be. I think everybody is just missing the bigger message here. Oh, my God. You people are just awful. You really are. All right. We have a break coming up. When we come back, oh, yes. When we come back, the Tejano story. I'm telling you, by Friday, which I believe is the day that Valerie Plame is going to testify. So that'll give good cover. You know, how are the networks going to handle that? In the first place, nobody will cover her testimony. A C-SPAN 26 might, but only if it falls between 1:15 and 3:08 Mountain Time. They will focus a little bit on the resignation of Gonzo. But it's going to be an interesting day, Friday. It really is. Is today Wednesday? Oh, God, it's only Wednesday. Oh. Quick break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Welcome back, 7 past the hour. Very quickly here, a couple more emails, and then we want you to hear El Dorque's comments about the collapse of this corrupt, filthy Justice Department of his. Justice Department, yeah, okay. Vince from Georgia, regarding confessions. Not just Khalid Sheikh Mohammed's, but anyway, writes Mike, I find it funny, well, funny's not the right word, but whatever, it's interesting how these so-called confessions pop out when the House of Cards starts to fall. Scooter Libby, Alvaro Gonzalez, the Walter Reed fiasco, I get the feeling there is no confession, as we have nothing more than these documents to go on to tell us what allegedly happened or what was said. I get the feeling that this is just a tactic of trolling out 9/11 again to distract the masses from the real issues going on. Thousands of our soldiers dead. God knows how many screwed over by the Walter Reed deal. Who cares? The 9/11 dude confessed. All is well now. Makes me sick. Vince, from here in Georgia. And to let you know, we're not just picking on Hillary. This comes from Newsday. Alan sent this in. Barack Obama joined Hillary in courting gays and lesbians by calling for the rollback of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, without wanting to directly refute General Pace's comments that homosexuality is immoral. Newsday called Obama as he was leaving the firefighters' convention and asked him three times if he thought homosexuality is immoral. Answer one, I think traditionally the Joint Chiefs of Staff chairman has restricted his public comments to military matters. That's probably a good tradition to follow. Yeah, but do you think it's immoral? I think the question here is whether somebody is willing to sacrifice for their country. Should they be able to if they're doing all the things that should be done? Yeah, but do you think homosexuality is immoral? I gotta go. Signed autograph, posed for snapshot, jumped athletically into town car, and disappeared. So, why the dance? Maybe it has something to do with not wanting to alienate moderates or social conservatives, the church folk, who view homosexuality as a sin. Well, Obama and Hillary both can kiss my grits. I'm saying not just about this issue. Oh, God, no. This is just another nail in the coffin. For me, not for you, but for either one of them. You know, I think Obama has the right approach. It's time for it kind of sounds like Kennedy. When Kennedy was sworn in, John Kennedy was sworn in January 61, and he said, you know, a new generation is taking over, a generation born in this century. He was the first president born in the 20th century, and he was making a distinct and clear break from the past, and it was too much, so they murdered him. Obama is saying basically the same thing, and he's referring to Hillary Clinton when he says it. It's time to move on. You know, the politics of yesterday stink, and he's right. So they'll probably murder him. Speaking of murder, this is for real. The national campaign headquarters of John Edwards was evacuated after a staff member opened a letter containing white powder. This is from the Raleigh News and Observer. Deputy campaign manager Jonathan Prince said in a written release that the campaign staff contacted authorities after the discovery. Prince said the authorities asked the staff to evacuate their office while they run tests on the powder. Kate Bedingfield, an Edwards spokesman, said in an interview that the Chapel Hill police were handling the case, Chapel Hill, North Carolina. She gave no further details. White powder in letters has been associated with anthrax after an attack in 2001 killed 5 people and sickened 17. The substance was mailed to lawmakers, yada, yada, yada. The statement from the former North Carolina senator's campaign said that the campaign staff was working from home. Ms. Prince said, or Mr. Prince, who is it? Jonathan. Jonathan Prince said in a statement the campaign continues to operate at full speed. White powder, huh? I just wonder if that was something Bush sent and just addressed it wrong. I don't know. President Bush and President El Presidente de Mexico, Calderon, participate in a joint press availability in Merida, Mexico, today. Hoy. After some meaningless Dorito diplomacy with President Calderon, El Stupido took questions from the press, which centered on the latest Republican scandal, Alberto Gonzalez and the Criminal Justice Department firing of 8 U.S. attorneys. The reporter says, "Thank you. The Attorney General acknowledged yesterday that there were mistakes in the firing of prosecutors. Mr. President, what is his future in your cabinet? Do you have confidence in him? And more importantly, or just as important, how effective can he be in Congress going forward when he's lost a lot of confidence among Democrats and doesn't have any defenders among Republicans?"
I do have confidence in Attorney General Al Gonzalez. I talked to him this morning, and we talked about his need to go up to Capitol Hill and make it very clear to members in both political parties why the Justice Department made the decisions it made.
That'll never happen.
Make it very clear about the facts.
Oh, yeah.
And he's right. Mistakes were made.
Uh-huh.
And I'm frankly not happy about them because there is a lot of confusion over what really has been a customary practice by the presidents. U.S. attorneys and others serve at the pleasure of the president.
No. Excuse me, you jackass freak. It is customary practice when a new administration comes in, such as yours did when it stole the presidency 6 years ago, that the newly appointed attorney general can then make decisions and fire all 93 if he or she chooses to. Janet Reno did that. And you know why she did it, El Stupido? Because the federal attorneys had been in office, some of them for 12 years, under 2 Republican administrations. And it was time to clean house. They do not fire attorneys without cause. in the middle of some jackass's second term because those attorneys are sending Republicans to prison. I have confidence in Attorney General Al Gonzalez. That's what the decider said about Rummy. Remember that? Just about, what was it, 2 days before he left to spend more time with his family? And he's right. Mistakes were made. And I say that a lot these days because, you know, it magically improves things. Jorge sounded especially shaky and nervous as the questions kept filing in. Maybe it was tequila withdrawal. But I thought he might pass out when the reporter asked the following. Mr. President, on the dismissal of U.S. attorneys, there have been allegations that political motivations were involved. Is political loyalty to your administration an appropriate factor? And when you talked to Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez last year, what did you say? And what did you direct him to do?
I've heard those allegations about, you know, political decision-making. It's just not true. Secondly, just so you know, I get asked... I mean, I get complaints all the time from members of Congress on a variety of subjects. Senator, the senator, congressman, congressperson, so-and-so.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
there's occasionally frustration with the executive branch.
No!
And they will pull me aside and say, you know, are you aware of this? Are you aware of that? And I did receive complaints about U.S. attorneys.
Uh-huh.
I specifically remember one time I went up to the Senate and senators were talking about the U.S. attorney. I don't remember specific names being mentioned, but I did say to Al last year, you're right, last fall, I said, have you heard complaints about AGs? I have. I mean, U.S. attorney, excuse me. And he said, I have. But I never brought up a specific case. Nor gave him specific instructions.
Gee, and yet there are all these emails that mention Harriet Myers and Karl Rove and presidential office and that you know nothing. I know nothing. Now, when he makes the statement, I heard those allegations about political decision making, and it's just not true. Hey, gringo boy, you just made yourself a material witness. You just made yourself a material witness. I've heard those allegations about political decision-making. It's just not true. Oh, really? Then you'll have no problem telling all that to the special prosecutor, right? And I did receive complaints about U.S. attorneys, but I didn't act on them because I'm such a moral, upstanding, righteous defender of democracy.
I expect every member of this administration to stay well within the boundaries that define legal and ethical conduct. This means avoiding even the appearance of problems.
Oh. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I got you, Chief. Wait a minute. Right after he said that, Cheney comes behind him and says,
don't pay any attention to what the boy just said. Just do what I tell you. And, no one will get shot. Just do what I tell you, all right? Now, go back to what you're doing. Look busy, because if you don't, I may kill you.
So, Bush and President Calderon in Mérida, Mexico. So the same reporter here wants to know if he expects people to believe this ridiculous story that Bush never spoke with Gonzalez, Myers, or Karl Rove about these firings and never once inferred that U.S. attorneys be dismissed. Of course not. The question,
sir, excuse me, might Gonzalez have inferred that, you know, because you discussed it with him, there was a need for him to take action?
Going to have to ask Al that question. But as I say, I discuss with my cabinet officials complaints I hear.
Oh, yeah.
Members of the Senate come up and say to me, I've got a complaint.
Yeah.
I think it's entirely appropriate and necessary for me to pass those complaints on.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Now, I don't every single time.
Yeah.
But people view their moment with the president sometimes as an opportunity to unload their frustrations about how things may be working in their state.
Ah.
Or congresspersons, how things may be working in their district.
Ah.
And whether it be the attorney general or the secretary of state or other members of my cabinet, I pass those complaints on at times. And what Al did and what the Justice Department did was appropriate. U.S. attorneys serve at the pleasure of the president. In other words, they're appointed by the president. They can be removed by the president. What was mishandled was the explanation of the case, the cases, to the Congress.
Yeah, that's all. Nothing to see here. Move on! Jesus! God, move on! It's just like the lack of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. No big deal. Move on. What's everybody standing around here for? He says, I think it's entirely appropriate and necessary for me to pass these complaints on when members of the Senate come up with a complaint. Okay. And that's so that the appropriate heads will end up on the chopping block. Yeah, it's totally appropriate when Domenici wants an attorney fired because he's refused to begin an investigation on a Democrat before the election. That's a normal legal thing to do, to have that attorney fired. Come on, I'm the president. Don't you get it? I can do anything I want. Cheney and Rove said so, and so did Nixon. Mike Gonzalez have inferred that because you discussed it with him, there was a need for him to take action. And he says, you're going to have to ask Al that question. Bye-bye, torture boy. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. People view their moment with the president as an opportunity to unload their frustrations. Unless they're Cindy Sheehan, then they can wait for months in the sun, you know, and to hell with her. Right? And then he said he's already committed himself to being a material witness in this. And when he says, and whether it be the Attorney General or the Secretary of State or other members of Cabinet, I pass those complaints on at times. Uh-oh, sounds like an admission to me. Oh, my God. I could see Karl Rove pulling his few remaining hairs out of his head watching this, watching Bush stand up there implicating himself in criminal activity. But then Karl Rove says, wait a second, this is no big deal. You, the son of a bitch, took us all to war. What's the big deal about interfering in the prosecution or not prosecution of justice in this country? Oh my God, what am I getting upset about? This man took us into a war based on lies and filth. We have over 3,100 dead Americans, 25,000 permanently wounded Americans, hundreds of thousands of dead Iraqis, all because of lies. What, I'm going to sit here and worry about some little tempest in a teapot with Gonzalez? Please.
Well, one other thing that we kind of missed in that sound clip was, you know, what about this Kyle Sampson Fall Guy dude? What Bush just said there is, well, what Al did, or I mean, what the Justice Department did. I mean, Al was saying he knew nothing. He had nothing to do with it, so he just outed him, too.
Oops.
Now the time has come to part, the time for weeping.
Time for another break?
Vaya
con Dios. Gonzalez, vaya con Dios, mi tejano.
Now the village mission bells are softly ringing. If you listen with your heart, you'll hear them sing.
La, la, la.
I feel very comfortable in the job because I've got great advice and advisors to whom I get good advice from great advisors to whom I listen.
Clavaste un puñal por la espalda, traicionando el amor que te daba.
26 before the hour, John sent me an email. Sorry, Mike, we don't understand how Bush implicated himself. Could you please explain? In his statement today, the soundbite of which we just played for you, he said, "I've heard those allegations about political decision making. It's just not true." In other words, he becomes a material witness. Now, if he says he's heard the allegations from CNN, that's different. But if what he's saying here, you know, Bush thinks he's a great liar. And in one respect, he is. But, you know, if you're Italian, you understand there are seven signs when someone's lying. And my grandfather taught me those seven signs. Little ticks, little signs that people reveal when they're lying. And I watched this tape today of Bush or the whatever it was, the press conference, and I saw three of those ticks or signs that my grandfather told me to watch if I thought somebody was lying, watch for. Which is immaterial to John's question. How has he implicated himself? He has made himself a material witness. Now, whether he's implicated himself or not, that would be up to an impeachment hearing. An impeachment inquiry. Or it would be up to a special prosecutor. But if you say, "I've heard those allegations about political decision-making," if you say, "I've heard them from CNN," I guess you're off the hook. If you say, "I've heard them from my attorney general," uh-oh! You become a material witness. It doesn't necessarily mean you're guilty or going to be charged with anything, but that's what we meant. That's what I meant when I said he's implicated himself as a material witness. Now, any attorney listening out there who disagrees with that, send me an email and I'll read it over the air.
And that's in reference to political motivations behind the firing of the attorneys. And he's saying, "Oh, there weren't any. I know for a fact there weren't any." Well, how would he know that? Yeah. What else? I mean, if he's claiming no knowledge of the firings themselves, then how would he know with certainty they weren't politically motivated?
Yeah. And I want to mention again about my webmaster and rock star Mark Marshall's gig on tomorrow night, Thursday night, 9 p.m., Nyack, New York, 116 Main Street, at a joint called Olive's. And it's in the celebration of the release of his new CD, New Eye. And if you live around there or you want to make the trek, it's worth it. Oh, by the way, Mark sent me an email. Anyone who comes in and mentions Molly by name to Mark gets, quote, "a little something special," end quote. Uh-oh. Now, I don't know what that is, but you can go to his website and look at Mark's picture, and you can decide for yourself. But if you go to the club and mention Molly, that would be Molly Malloy, I guess, or Molly Ivins, you know, Molly, a little something special. This quick item from Justin in Cincinnati, and I heard this this evening on the news, and I thought, oh, my God, you know, United Fruit, which I guess is Chiquita Banana, has been involved in all sorts of evil doings in Central America for 125 years. So here's this from Justin. Just in case you didn't see it on CNN.com, Chiquita Banana has been making deals with Colombian terrorist groups that would better their company. I think what Justin means, Colombian terrorist groups and Chiquita Banana made an agreement that the terrorist groups would murder union organizers and social activists who have been trying for 125 years to get Chiquita Banana, an American-based company, to play fair in Central America. That's all. It's like, hey, you know, they came up with that term, Banana Republic, as a way of denigrating the people from Guatemala and El Salvador and Colombia and all these Central and South American countries where United Fruit Company decided to go down and just take over. They supported the overthrow of governments to make better deals for United Fruit Company. Federal investigations are currently underway, Justin writes. So much for supporting free trade with Colombia. Oh, my God. Well, sure. You know, this is no offense, Justin, it's nothing new. Nothing new. Texaco, Coca-Cola, what was the company in Bhopal, India, the chemical company that all of these companies, American corporations in Indonesia, East Timor, in Nigeria, all of American any American company, a huge American company, especially oil company or a food company like United Fruit or Chiquita Banana, but especially oil companies, they hire local murderers, killers, terrorist groups to make sure, or the local right-wing military, to make sure that organizers, union organizers, and healthcare workers, and people who insist that the people in the country being ripped to pieces by these corporations, or the environment being shredded by these corporations, is somehow protected. And Coca-Cola, Texaco, United Fruit, ExxonMobil, Halliburton, the list just goes on and on. They don't give a damn. They don't give a damn about that sort of stuff. They're capitalist enterprise. They're here for the cross and for the purse. They don't care anything about. What are you talking about? Get out of my way, you little brown bastard. And when the little brown bastards don't get out of the way, the American corporations hire execution squads, hit squads, terrorists, murderers. This was the value of John Negroponte. This is what that evil son of a bitch did in Central America all during the 80s. That's why Negroponte and Elliot Abrams are so valuable. Elliot Abrams is a special State Department undersecretary to the Middle East. Why, of course he is. Of course he is. He did his wet work just like Negroponte and Chertoff and who was Colin Powell's assistant, the one who really ratted out Valerie Plame, Armitage, all of these people. They are literal killers. I'm not speaking metaphorically when I say that. These are murderers. And how many Americans know that or care? Oh, my God. Read anything by Smedley Butler. Look it up. Do a Google. A double Congressional Medal of Honor winner. United States Marine Corps. The turn of the 20th century. 19th to the 20th. Read what Smedley Butler wrote. The only person in military history to win two Congressional Medals of Honor. Read what he said about U.S. corporations and the United States Marine Corps and the United States Army and the misuse of the military by U.S. corporations, especially in Central America. Read what he wrote. My God, don't take my word for it. But Americans don't care. I don't want to know about that. Oh, no. No, you don't, Malloy. I don't want to know about that. Dana Milbank, writing in the Post today. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez faced the cameras for all of 9 minutes yesterday, but he managed to contradict himself at least four times as he fought off calls to resign over the firing U.S. attorneys. Mistakes were made, he said in fluent scandalese, but I think it was the right decision. That's one. I'm responsible for what happened at the Department of Justice, he posited, but I was not involved in any discussions about what was going on. That's two. Kyle Sampson, my chief of staff, has resigned, he said. But he's still at the department. That's three. And finally, I believe in the independence of our U.S. attorneys, Gonzalez maintained, but all political appointees can be removed for any reason. That's four. He had the look of a hunted man in his appearance at the Justice Department. He wiggled his toes inside his shoes and shifted his feet. He spoke too loudly into the microphone. He arrived 18 minutes late, gave well-rehearsed answers, and appeared intent on getting out as fast as he could, ignoring reporters' shouts of, "Sir! Sir!" The child of Mexican immigrants even mentioned his rise from poverty in dismissing calls for his ouster. "I've overcome a lot of obstacles in my life to become Attorney General. I am here not because I give up." Before the day was out, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, Senator Ted Kennedy, and other Democrats joined Senator Schumer's call for Gonzalez's head. But Dianne Feinstein, giving the news conference with Schumer, was not so bloodthirsty. She said, "I'm more reserved in general than my colleague over here is." Reserved was not the picture that came to mind on the other side of the Capitol, where House Judiciary Committee Chairman John Conyers called his own news conference to hand out copies of the emails the administration had just given him. "The documents, ta-da," Conyers said, waving a sheaf in the air. The event was hastily prepared. Aides didn't have a congressional seal, so they improvised by pasting a paper one to the lectern. And Conyers confessed that, "We haven't read all the documents we're releasing yet." Reporters were happy to help. They besieged a woman carrying a box labeled Xerox, elbowing one another to grab still-warm bundles of emails. It didn't take much searching of them to find evidence of the political nature of the firings in the White House's role. White House, Legge, Political and Communications have signed off. Legge mean legislative. Deputy White House Counsel William Kelly wrote to Sampson and then White House Counsel Harriet Myers in December 2006. Other emails from Sampson had him, quote, "waiting for a green light from the White House," end quote, and asking Myers and Kelly to circulate the firing plan to Karl Rove's, quote, "shop," end quote. "This is incredible," Judge Conyers, as he read a few passages to reporters. The chairman seemed torn between gravitas, "we are not here to create a sideshow," and giddiness, "I don't want this to be my last press conference on the subject." For Gonzalez, the bad news conferences were only beginning. Senator John Ensign, Republican of Nevada, the man in charge of Senate Republicans' 2008 campaigns, went before the cameras with tough words for the Attorney General. He warned, quote, "I want to see if he's willing to make the changes that are necessary at the Department of Justice because things have been handled poorly up to this point." Senator John Cornyn, a real thug, Republican of Texas, the administration's most faithful legislator, said, quote, "The appearances are troubling. I'm concerned. This has not been handled well. In Texas, we believe in having a fair trial, and then we have the hanging," end quote.
That all good things must end. Call it a night.
It's okay, Republicans. The pain will be over soon. Take a deep breath. Find your happy place. It's more of Mike Malloy.
What a crazy, crazy.
It's about 8 before the hour. Thanks to Clarice and Reggie. The company I was trying to think of that caused the Bhopal tragedy was Union Carbide. Do you know that the families of the people, the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who died there still have not been compensated? And when was that? 80, I don't know, early 80s? Dirty, rotten bastards. The statement from Bush was, "I've heard those allegations about political decision making. It's just not true." And I said, "Hey, Halfwit, you just made yourself a material witness," and asked for an attorney to disagree. Bryant in Richmond says, "I've heard it said is by definition hearsay, inadmissible, in sworn testimony. But, Counselor, I think our producer has a disagreement with you.
Well, he didn't say I heard it said about that these were political motivations, and it's just not true. I mean, what he's saying is, I've heard that before. I've heard those allegations before, and I'm telling you from a position of knowing and from fact, they're not true. So what he is saying is he's coming from a knowledge-based position on the subject, and this is something he has claimed he knows nothing about. Oh, I don't know anything about eight attorneys. I didn't talk to Harriet Myers. I didn't Right. talk to Karl Rove. I didn't talk to Al Gonzalez. But then he turns around and tells a reporter, oh, I've heard those allegations before. Other people have brought them up to me that these firings were politically motivated. I'll tell you that's not true. That's not true. I am telling you that.
Okay, so
I'm coming from a position of knowing it's not true.
Yeah, so he's, what is that called, stating facts with knowledge.
Yeah, and the point is that he's not saying, well, I don't think that's true, or I've heard it's not true, or allegations are that it's not true. He's stating that it's not true, just like he outed Gonzalez. I mean, Gonzalez spent 9 very carefully crafted minutes yesterday standing there trying to say, I didn't know anything.
Right.
I was trusting the Samson guy to handle everything. I turned it all over to him. I never saw a memo. I never saw a firing document. I never saw an email. I was totally in the dark about this. Was just something that this Samson guy, is that his name?
Yeah.
Cooked up with, you know, Harriet Myers without me having anything to do with it. And then Bush today says, Al didn't do anything wrong. Al knew, you know, Al was doing everything I told him to do. Oh, hey, what was the problem? My Tejano, hey, paisan.
Oh, God.
Where are the tacos? I mean, it was just unbelievable. It's like, oh, poor Gonzalez
right.
must be slapping himself in the forehead going, shut up, gringo, shut up.
Okay. All right. Well, Attorney Bryant, there is a differing opinion. I hate it when two attorneys get together. You get three opinions. Our good friend Christian down in Miami, who's an attorney, who sometimes listens to the program, we'll have to call him tomorrow and ask him his take on this.
They're just too stupid to get away with stuff anymore. I mean, it's like that game where
they always,
you know,
they always have been, but they've had the protection of this corrupt, filthy media. And they still have the protection of this corrupt, filthy media. They're not stupid. They're venal.
I think what's happened is it's just gotten so big. There's just too much scandal going on at once. Like, oh, God, Valerie Plame
every
over
single
here.
Day.
Libby over here. Oh, no. Walter Reed. Oh, God, the FBI.
Oh, here's Gonzalez.
Oh, no, here's Harriet Myers.
Attorneys.
Here's the Fargan, the attorneys. Oh, here's Shady's Cloud, and he's all clotting up. I mean, it's just they can't keep ahead of it.
And in front
and
of APAC.
Tony Snow is such a moron. He's just stumbling around going, is it time for my chemo today?
And in front of APAC the other day, you know, everybody has been traipsing to this American-Israel Political Action Committee trying to get their bona fides from the Israeli lobby in this country. And you know, Obama and Hillary and all of them, they go to this meeting and they just totally, totally prostitute themselves. But here at APAC the other day, Cheney's there, and he once again makes the absolutely incredibly incorrect statement that Iraq was involved in the attack on September 11th on this country. And he gets applause from the people in attendance. My God.
Oh, I forgot about the curveball scandal this week.
Curveball.
We're
going to get to that because the crack American media has totally just not picked up on this horrendous revelation from Seymour Hersh. Just, I mean, it's astonishing what Hersh has revealed. And is Wolf Blitzer talking about it? Is Charlie Gibson talking about it? Is anybody talking about it? No.
Well, there's just too much to talk about.
Thank you. six and a half past the hour. This is the Nova M Radio Network. My name is Mike Malloy. Tom Englehart, writing at tomdispatch.com and carried by truthout.org. I just want to share some of this with you about Seymour Hersh. There are two stories, of course. There is the curveball story that most people who understand how we got into this war know that so-called curveball, this Iraqi informant, was a total pathological liar. And yet the Bush administration and Cheney took us into war using his nonsensical charges as a basis for that war, even to the point of having Colin Powell repeat almost verbatim what Curveball had said about mobile chemical weapons labs in front of the UN. That's one story. The other story is this. Tom Englehart writes, let me see if I've got this straight. Perhaps 2 years ago, a so-called informal meeting of so-called veterans of the 1980s Iran-Contra scandal, all now holding positions in the Bush administration, was convened by Deputy National Security Advisor Elliot Abrams. Discussed were the, quote, lessons learned, end quote, from that labyrinthine secret and illegal arms-for-money-for-arms deal involving the Israelis, the Iranians, the Saudis, and the Contras of Nicaragua, among others, and meant to evade the Boland Amendment, a congressionally passed attempt to outlaw Reagan administration assistance to the anti-communist Contras. In terms of getting around Congress, the Iran-Contra vets concluded the complex operation had been a success and would have worked far better if the CIA and the military had been kept out of the loop and the whole thing had been run out of the vice president's office. Now, let me digress. You remember who the vice president was at the time, George Herbert Walker Bush. Okay. Back to Tom Englehart. Subsequently, some of these conspirators, once again, with the financial support and help of the Saudis and probably the Israelis and the Brits, began running a similar operation aimed at avoiding congressional scrutiny or public accountability of any sort out of Vice President Cheney's office. They dipped into so-called black pools of money, possibly stolen from the billions of Iraqi oil dollars that have never been accounted for since the American operation began. Some of these funds, as well as Saudi funds, were evidently funneled through the embattled Sunni-dominated Lebanese government of Prime Minister Fouad Siniora to the sort of Sunni jihadi groups, some sympathetic to Al-Qaeda, whose members might normally fear ending up in Guantanamo, and to a group or groups associated with the fundamentalist Muslim Brotherhood. Okay, follow me so far? Stolen money filtered through Dick Cheney's office to terrorist organizations. Back to Tom. All of this is being done as part of a so-called sea change in the Bush administration's Middle Eastern policies, aimed at rallying friendly Sunni regimes against Shiite Iran, as well as Hezbollah, Hamas, and the Syrian government, and launching secret operations to undermine, roll back, or destroy all of the above. Despite the fact that the Bush administration is officially at war with Sunni extremism in Iraq, and in the more general global war on terror, despite its support for the largely Shiite government allied to Iran that it has brought to power in Iraq, and despite its dislike for the Sunni-Shiite civil war in that country, some of its top officials in the Bush administration may be covertly encouraging a far greater Sunni-Shiite rift in the region. Imagine all this and much more, including news of U.S. military border crossings into Iran, new preparations that would allow George W. Bush to order a massive air attack on that land with only 24 hours notice, and a brief window this spring when the staggering power of four U.S. aircraft carrier battle groups will be available to the president in the Persian Gulf. Imagine all this and much more was revealed, often in remarkable detail, just over a week ago in The Redirection, a Seymour Hersh piece in The New Yorker. Hersh, the man who first broke the My Lai story in the Vietnam era, has never been off his game since. In recent years, from the Abu Ghraib scandal on, he has consistently released explosive news about the plans and acts of the Bush administration. Now imagine, in addition, that Hirsch went on Democracy Now, Fresh Air, Hardball with Chris Matthews, CNN Late Edition with Wolf Blitzer, and actually elaborated on these claims and revelations, some of which, on the face of it, seem like potentially illegal and impeachable offenses if they do indeed reach up to the vice president or president. Now, imagine the response. Front page headlines, editorials nationwide calling for answers, congressional hearings, or even the appointment of a special prosecutor to look into some of the claims, a raft of op-ed page pieces by the nation's leading columnists asking questions, demanding answers, reminding us of the history of the Iran-Contra affair, bold reporters from a recently freed media standing up in White House and Defense Department press briefings to demand more information on Hirsch's varying charges, calls in Congress for hearings and investigations into why the people's representatives were left so totally out of this loop. Well, all I can say is, if any of that happened, I haven't been able to discover it. As far as I can tell, no one in the mainstream media even blinked on the Iran-Contra angle or the possibility that a vast, secret Middle Eastern operation is being run, possibly illegally, and based on stolen funds and Saudi money out of the vice president's office! And it goes on. You can get this at truthout.org. It's written by Tom Englehart. Or go to tomdispatch.com. Either way. And it's lengthy. And it's astonishing.
And we touched on this last week when Cheney was speaking at AIPAC and warning the people there against funding Sunni militant groups because
when that's what they're doing.
Because the money might end up in the hands of Al-Qaeda and it might foment a civil war in the region between Sunni and Shia factions. And I'm thinking, gee, you know, now that is a bad idea. Why are you doing it?
I wonder if people at AIPAC understand, now by definition, most of the people at AIPAC are Jewish Americans, and heavy-duty supporters of Israel. And I wonder, is there a possibility that the people at AIPAC don't understand that, for example, Elliot Abrams is an American Jew, and who may be directing funds to terrorist groups in the Middle East who will turn around and kill Israeli Jews? Do they not understand what these evil sons of bitches are doing? Could that be possible? Could it be that the Irish Republican Army, say 20 years ago, was providing money to the Protestant Ian Paisley's counter-revolutionary group in Northern Ireland so that Ian Paisley and his thugs could buy weapons to kill Catholic children? Could that be? I mean, how stupid does Elliot Abrams think, quote, his own people, end quote, are? But you see, to these neocon bastards, it doesn't matter. Jew, Gentile, Sunni, Shiite, liberal, conservative, man, woman, child, baby, they don't care. Kill them all. Kill them all. We don't care. We want the goddamn oil and the power and the glory. World without end. Amen.
Redefining Anger Management. It's Mike Malloy, only on Nova M Radio.
You know that's a game that I hate to lose. And I'm feeling the strain. All in shame. Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I want to get lost in your rock and roll and drift away.
Yeah. You know, I certainly am not advocating it, but and I don't do it anymore because I'm, you know, I just don't. But sometimes with all this going on, and I know a lot of you feel the same way, and some of you still do it, but, you know, just to fire one up and kick back and just let it all go. Just let it all go. Just you know, and enjoy the shape of a tree or the way the wind is blowing or the clouds or whatever, and just kind of sit back and say, no, I'm not involved in that anymore. Not going to let it eat me up. But this this lengthy article by Seymour Hersh in the current issue of the New Yorker is astounding. Astonishing, unbelievable. They didn't believe any. They didn't believe him about Mili either, at the beginning. And they didn't believe him about Abu Ghraib either. Remember, that was just a couple of rogue soldiers acting on impulse. They were bored. All right, Kathy, we're finished the sound. We've got it all done.
I have a thought.
Yeah?
Why don't you take a call?
A what?
A call.
A call?
Yes.
What is that?
That's when someone calls in the program and would like to talk to you.
I see. All right. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Look, there are people who have been holding on forever. Who's this? Marge? Marge is calling from Indiana? Marge, I thought you died and moved to Chicago.
No, no, not quite, not yet. I'm still walking around kicking. But talking about Chicago, were you here when they were starting to fight with Conrad Black?
The owner of the Sun-Times?
Yeah.
Yes.
That guy. Well, his trial is starting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and you may want to, you know, tune in half a ear to the trial because they announced some of the witnesses they expect to call.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Go.
Donald Trump. Henry Kissinger.
Yeah.
And former Governor Jim Thompson. Doesn't that sound like a party?
It does. It does. I wonder who's going to bring the favors. Conrad Black, he's also a big newspaper owner in Canada, too, I believe, right?
Yeah, and Great Britain.
And Great Britain.
He's a lord. I don't know how. I think that I'm not quite clear on.
He's also a Nazi.
Well, you're going to get down to specifics now.
I know.
I think he's truly a Canadian.
Yeah.
By birth, but somehow, I guess it's all right for Canadians to become a lord of the realm or whatever.
I don't know how it works in the Commonwealth.
I don't either.
I really don't. I don't know how. I don't know how he can own a newspaper if he's not in this country, if he's not an American citizen, especially one as huge as the Chicago Sun-Times. But I'm sure there are very simple answers. It's just you and I are missing them.
It's going to be interesting.
Yes,
when you
will.
Were talking about, what was it, a Union Carbide and United Fruit and like that,
yeah.
There's a book that goes back a couple of years. It's called Confessions of an Economic Hitman.
Oh, yeah.
By John Perkins. Have you read it?
Right. No, I haven't read it. I, like most people, I've read reviews of it and synopses of it, but never haven't had time.
Fascinating.
Yeah, I know
absolutely
it is.
Absolutely fascinating. And the thing, you know, after that business about Seymour Hersh and all that bunch again, I feel like I'm sort of picking at nits. But didn't you ever hear where the airways belong to the people?
Yeah, I remember that from my youth.
Oh, God. I'm still trying to find out what the hell law that was passed. But I think it may go back to 97. Beat the hell out of me. But there was in the Seattle something intelligentsia. Pacifica?
Yeah.
I don't know, PI, whatever. I know it's Intelligentsia, but I don't know what the first part is. There's a section called TechWire.
Okay.
And they're talking about converter boxes.
Converter boxes.
Yeah, that's when we're going to go from analog to digital broadcasting.
Okay.
Now, the deadline for that, the final, absolute whatever the hell, is February 17th of 09. Now, that's a couple years away.
Yeah.
But it's going to start in increments, I guess, by as early as next year. Now, Congress, in their inimitable wisdom, has set aside $1.5 billion, but that's with a B, for coupons that everybody should be entitled to get. But nobody seems to know where you're going to get them.
All right, coupons. Hold on right there. I got to take a break. Just stay right with the word coupons. And when we come back here, let's finish up. We're talking to Marge. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malone.
One more murder in this town. Don't worry, the rain will wash the chalk marks from the ground.
Six before the hour. That music is from our webmaster and rock star Mark Marshall. And if you're in Nyack, New York tomorrow, go to 116 Main Street, a place called Olives. 9 o'clock tomorrow night, release of his new CD, New Eye. Check him out. I'm serious. And go to his website if you can't go to the gig, markmarshall.com. Back to Marge. All right, Marge. First of all, Dr. Libby says, yeah, it's the Seattle Post-Intelligencer that you were referencing.
Okay, Post-Intelligence. I couldn't remember what the P stood for. I had PI, but I didn't know what else.
Now,
but anyhow, these coupons seem to emanate from some place called the National Telecommunications Information Administration, which are located in the Herbert C. Hoover Building on Constitution Avenue in Washington.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to be valued somewhere around approximately $40 per coupon. And there's like two per household as long as the money lasts.
Right.
And that's as far as it goes. I haven't been able to nail down any more information. But it's supposedly going to start in, a year from now, March of next year. But then if you only have rabbit ears and you haven't converted to a digital receiver of broadcast, you're rabbit ears are going to go black, and you're not going to get any television at all. Isn't that lovely?
And you become SOL.
That's just like, the people on the airways.
Right. Coupons, huh? Do you know, March, I still have a couple of books of S&H green stamps.
Oh, God. What can I tell you? I got the distinct impression whoever passed this damn bill did it as part of some omnibus thing. They added it at 12 o'clock midnight, and nobody knew what the hell they were voting for.
Probably. And you were talking at the beginning of your call about public airwaves. Excuse me.
Yeah, every time I, God. Every time I say that, I think, Marge, you're losing your mind.
Right. Well, join the rest of us.
I will leave you with the one thought that I always thought emanated from Thomas Jefferson, but it doesn't. It's the duty of the fourth estate to maintain an informed citizenry. As near as I can tell, that comes from a Britisher, no less, named Edmund Burke.
Yeah,
about the same time.
Yeah, yes, indeed. A great philosopher, a great Enlightenment dude. So, that idea has become so passé.
Oh.
Oh, well, Marge, it's been a long time since you called the program.
Yeah, well, I thought you changed your phone system because, believe it or not, I tried.
You tried?
But I since you've been back from vacation, I haven't been able to break the sound barrier, but I've been thinking about you.
Well, good. I don't be a stranger.
Oh, no. Take my vitamins, Do my push-ups every day. Yeah, right. That'll happen.
All right, Marge.
Be good.
Keep an eye on the morning to you.
Keep
an eye on everything for us. Take care. Regarding Conrad Black that Marge brought up, Dino, north of Toronto, and Malachi in Saskatchewan both wrote essentially the same thing. I'll take Malachi's email here. Actually, it's not allowed for Canadians to accept foreign titles without permission from the Canadian government. Conrad Black had a feud with former PM, Canadian Prime Minister Chrétien, who wouldn't give permission even if it killed him. So Conrad Black gave up his Canadian citizenship and moved to Britain to accept his barony. Turns out he got in legal hot water in Britain as well as in the U.S., so now he applied for immigration to Canada since he's no longer a citizen and is trying to regain his Canadian citizenship. Since we're so much more lax in our white-collar crime laws. Okay. Thanks to Dino, north of Toronto, and Malachi, a couple of our Canadian listeners, for the info on Conrad Black. Oh, my goodness. Plus Roz in Toronto, Roz in Canada wrote, and also Bev from Canada. Okay. We have quite a Canadian contingent who tunes into this program, Kathy. That's nice. Now, regarding what you said, I got an email here from, I guess I can say his name. He's an attorney in Miami, Miles Gottman. He says, "Dear Mike, I'm also an attorney from Miami, but it does not take an attorney, just a semi-logical mind to recognize that not only President Bush implicated himself as a material witness, but in implicating himself in conspiracy to obstruct justice. Of course, your brilliant wife, Kathy, who can change the laws of physics in a clothes dryer, is absolutely correct in observing that the president's statement that he has heard those allegations before, etc., is a declaration or admission against interest and thus not a hearsay exception. But this kind of misses the point. My recollection from the report, which you read, the president also said that he talks to senators and hears complaints about different U.S. attorneys. And since he does not talk to Democrats, he hears complaints from Republican senators. It is also my recollection that you said that he passes this information along, meaning that he passes that information to Attorney General Gonzalez. President Bush also said that U.S. attorneys operate at his pleasure and he can fire them as such. The conspiracy works as follows. President Bush hears complaints from Republican senators, passes that information to the Attorney General, who then fires them since they serve at the President's pleasure. I also agree with your brilliant wife, Kathy, that President Bush threw Gonzalez under the bus, but that is beside the point. President Bush has implicated himself in a conspiracy to obstruct justice. Sincerely, Miles Gottman." Well, there you go, Kathy.
Woohoo! Say brilliant again. I forgot about the dryer discussion.
Yeah. Conspiracy to obstruct justice. Wasn't that one of the charges that was going to be leveled against Nixon? And before the House Judiciary Committee could even bring the charges up for discussion or debate, the bastard resigned. But the conspiracy to obstruct justice, what is it going to take to get this filthy, corrupt administration out of office? I swear to God. Is it going to take oral sex with someone other than his wife? What's it going to take?
Ew. Somebody'd volunteer, I know, for the cause.
I know, yeah. All right, back to your phone calls. Leonard is calling from Glendale, Arizona. Hey, Leonard.
Hey there, sir. An honor to talk to you, and I got your back, Mike. I hope you got ours down here in Phoenix.
Absolutely. Hey, I'm coming out there at some point, I think next month. Am I not,
Kathy?
Oh,
outstanding, outstanding. Just keep your eyes on, you know, some of my friends out here are saying, hey, you know, you're just paranoid because, you know, like you're like some people who've been in the service and have been overseas, you know.
Right, sure.
But, you know, no, it's just you got to be with these people. But I guess what I wanted to call for is to say, with all of the scandal going on, you know, right now, Alberto Gonzalez, you know, taking the hit right now, even though the president is the one who's directly responsible, it's going to come out. It was quietly, even though it was front page news today on the Republic about our federal attorney out here who was pushed out. It's been put in the middle of the paper that Senator Kyle, and this is in today's Republic on A14, had already okayed his firing. So when this federal attorney who has stated he called up Kyle's office to ask for help, to complain, the decision had already been made by Kyle. And not only was Kyle making decisions about Carlton, he was advising the White House, or at least Gonzalez's aide, about firing all of the attorneys they wanted to do. So Kyle down here, the thing is, if it goes to an impeachment, I mean, you know, you got McCain and Kyle who would actually be, you know, in the actual trial, and they're not going to vote against Bush. But I just want people to know that Kyle has a much bigger role in this, and they're keeping it quiet. And it's not a local issue. It's a national issue. It's in the Republic. Of course, Mr. Kyle says this is not true. Once he found out that Carlton didn't want to, it was too late, or he would have, you know, it's just, but the emails, everything. So he's a large part of this. And I think they're, Mike, once this McCain recall thing, even if we don't get the signatures, which I hope we do, 3 more months, we'll be able to do it for Kyle, because I'm telling you right now, if that's not grounds for recall for a senator who is obstructing justice today, he's strongly implicated in the Arizona Republic. He denies it, but it's there.
So is there any Republican, I'm sure there must be, in the House or the Senate or the executive branch, who is not just a corrupt, filthy, anti-American perverter of the Constitution? I know there are a few. I think I think most of them are from the Northeast. I don't think Olympia Snow fits that category. I don't think Voinovich in Ohio fits that category. I don't think Arlen Specter. Well, that's kind of iffy. But the other woman from the upper, Susan Collins. So I think there are a few Republicans left who in the House and the Senate, even though I'm contradicting myself right now, mm-hmm. because I hate them all so much. But I think there are a few Republicans left who are not the perverters of justice that.
Well, I just can't call them Republican anymore. These are mutants, some ugly mutant form.
Well, I agree with that.
The military-industrial complex got some radiation into the Republican Party, and these are vicious. Monarchist. These
Although Leonard, you know, this may be what Republicans have always been like. It's just that they
see their true face.
They kept it hidden until they thought they had a punk in office that could be totally controlled by Cheney, mm-hmm. and then their real face came out. That's how I see it. Hey, thanks for checking in, Leonard.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
All right, you take care too. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Ten before the hour. Big thank you again this evening to Ian Huff, who engineered the program in Phoenix and also handled the phone calls. Of course, he had an easy ride tonight. No, he didn't. He worked very hard. Also, thanks to Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, who is our webmaster and a rock star. He's going to be in Nyack, New York at Olives. 112 Main Street, tomorrow, 9 p.m., go. It's a CD release party. And if you walk up to him and say the word Molly, he has a surprise for you. Well, that's what he said in the email. You can go to markmarshall.com for more info about the new CD. And also, have you been to novamradio.com? Yet to sign up for downloads and podcasts and a chance to win $10,000. You haven't? Okay. The executive producer of this program is Catherine Bay. Now, where are we? I think we have. We haven't talked with him for a long time. DB Cooper, who bailed out of the jet years ago and took a couple of million bucks with him. Hi, DB.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. When you were talking about chuckle nuts over there and down there in Mexico,
uh-huh.
It reminded me of an election last year in July between Calderon and Obrador.
Yeah, yeah. Has that finally been decided, or did Calderon steal it?
Oh, yeah, Calderon stole it, sure.
Yeah.
But what I did, and I sent you a couple of links. They're not from my my usual email address. They're from one, but you'll recognize it anyway.
Okay.
Both say election in the subject. But, yeah, it's there's a triangle that I uncovered here, or that someone had uncovered. Apparently, the Iraqi elections, the election officials for those purple-fingered Iraqi elections were they were sent to Mexico to be trained. I haven't been able to dig much else up on it, but
oh God.
Anyway, it's just like food for thought. I don't really have an opinion on it, except for when I first heard that Calderon was right wing and Obrador is left wing.
Yeah.
I figured, oh, well, what do you bet that we're going to have a little hand in it? The Bush administration is going to have a little hand in making sure those elections go smoothly for them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and you know as well as I do that the Mexican people who have seen their country decimated by NAFTA, who essentially hate the United States government but want to come here for work, that those people are for sure going to vote for a right-wing president. Oh, yeah!
Well, you know, I don't know. I guess it's time to don your tinfoil sombrero.
Yeah, I guess so. When's it all going to end, DB?
Hey, you know, I wish I knew, but at least...
Hell, you don't care. You've got millions from that little caper you pulled 30 years ago.
Well, yeah, and I was down there in the elections and just, you know, sipping on, what was that you call it, Tecate?
No, it's Shinako.
Oh, is that the best tequila?
Well, that's according to my good friend Bart Kopp.
Okay.
You do go to bartkopp.com.
I've been there. Yep.
Okay. Well, according to my good friend Bart Kopp, a true American hero, Shinako is the best.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, sounds good.
Like, and it doesn't have any scummy worm in it either.
Oh, well, that's pretty good, yeah, because I never like those things.
No, it doesn't need the worm.
They get caught in my teeth.
That's true. That's very true. All right, DB, take care.
Good to talk to you again, Mike. Our best to Kathy and Molly, too.
Thank you very much. Take care. You got to like that guy because, you know, when was it, Kathy? He hijacked that airplane with a parachute and demanded, what was it, $2 million? The plane landed. They put the $2 million on board. The plane took off. He let everybody go. Plane took off. He popped the back door and bailed out with a parachute somewhere over the big sky country and disappeared. And that was like, how many years ago? My God, that was back in the 70s. And then he surfaces to call this program. Kind of like, I don't know, just like V or one of those other mythological heroes. Julie is calling from Sacramento. Hey, Julie.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Hi, I wanted to let you know that I've been recruiting for you. And I will send you my message, my recruiting message later. But you have some new high school students that are listening to you.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
That's
and,
great.
Because I heard 1240 today as one of the battle cries here in Sacramento.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I wanted to ask you, well, I usually tell them, is you've got to listen to Mike Malloy. He comes on at 6 o'clock, but you have to be very careful because once you listen to him and you start hearing his voice go up higher and higher, you've got to turn the radio off because, you know, and hope that everything's okay. And then you've got to turn it back on. And today I have cried, I have laughed, and, Mike, you've got me yelling at the radio. You've got me doing every kind of everything. Is there any chance that Kathy could get some of Molly's quotes in there and get, when you get really, before I turn my radio off, you can, you know, because every time you talk about Molly, my heart rate kind of
almost.
Well, let's find out, Kathy.
Well, Julie, that's an awfully kind request. The problem is that Molly has the worst potty mouth right now.
That's okay.
We just
that's
can't.
Okay.
No, the FCC would not let Molly on the air. She's taken to using some very colorful phrases because of mommy and daddy and road rage in the car. Driving around Atlanta traffic has definitely colored up her language a bit.
Aww.
Well, today she was playing with her Legos. She has these huge Legos, and she was building a tower. And this was up in our bedroom, and I was watching her build it. And she was getting frustrated, and finally she said, she threw them across the room. She said, "These effing logos, they won't work. I can't build a tower." And she said the F word, and I just, oh my God! Hey, listen, gotta go. Thanks, Julie.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Appreciate you checking in. Does that constitute child abuse?
I like it better when she says effing cars from her car seat whenever anybody honks.
God, you got to clean up your language, Kathy. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We'll see you tomorrow night, Truth Seekers. Take care, all right? Really, thanks for participating tonight. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio Network.